Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, more developments in the Activision Blizzard. I was going to say scandal, but it's not. Overall deal. It's a big talking point, which usually in the gaming industry means a bit of a scandal. In this regard, though, we have Microsoft acquiring Activision, all the different IPs, all the different brands, companies, developers, everything else that was as part of that deal. And the way that that stuff is now rolling out, all the different legalities of it, whether or not the deal itself is actually going to be able to go through in a legal sense. It's meant to close halfway through 2023. And as things keep being talked about, different members of Microsoft keep being asked about the realities of what's happening, i.e. is Call of Duty going to be exclusive to Xbox going forward? There are various talking points that have come out of that. One of the most recent is Microsoft's Brad Smith talking to CNBC about the Activision Blizzard deal, confirming that exclusivity isn't something they're interested in long term. In fact, he actually mentions the idea of Call of Duty coming to Switch, though he doesn't name Switch specifically. He says other platforms, providing the deal does go through in 2023. To quote Smith, "One of the things we're being very clear about as we move forward with the regulatory review of this acquisition is that great titles like Call of Duty from Activision Blizzard today will continue to be available on the Sony PlayStation. We'd like to bring it to Nintendo devices, we'd like to bring the other popular titles that Activision has and ensure that they continue to be available on PlayStation and that they become available on Nintendo." So whether or not they're waiting, to me, I think they're maybe waiting for the next iteration of the Switch to be able to have something that has the hardware kick to be able to do Call of Duty proper when it lands. But what do you think of that? What do you think of them, like, you know, doubling down very much? Phil Spencer's saying it, Brad Smith's now saying it. It's definitely not leaving PlayStation overall, and it will be coming to Nintendo as well.
It's the why that I'm the most interested in here, Scott Telfer, because, you know, originally, like you kind of alluded to there, you know, Phil Spencer came out and he said that we're going to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation up until our existing agreements kind of run out. But this time, the clarification is that they're going to honor those existing agreements, but then just keep it on, you know, even beyond that, you know, it's going to stay on PlayStation, it's going to stay multi-platform, like you mentioned. But the why of it is interesting, and why this kind of change in language has come across, because the last thing I read on this before this all came out was that the regulators that he mentions there actually singled out Call of Duty as a kind of topic of concern, because, you know, obviously there's a lot of, you know, kind of laws and regulations against buying a company of this magnitude, whether it goes against, you know, fair play laws and stuff like that. And one of the things that was mentioned was whether or not Call of Duty would just completely change the entire industry if it went exclusive. So with that in mind, I kind of see this maybe as a preemptive strike. You know, he even mentions there, as they're working with the regulators, as they're working to get this deal pushed through, I think that was maybe a source of contention to the deal potentially falling through, and they've kind of just held up their hands and gone, look, no, we don't plan on making this exclusive. It's still going to be available on Sony's platforms, just to make sure that that isn't the thing that suddenly makes this entire deal fall apart.
It is fascinating watching them sort of tap dance around the laser beams, because it is different to the way that all the Bethesda stuff went down. Obviously, they did the same, you know, sort of dance around, we're going to not really pin stuff down for a few months, but they are being asked this all the time. The Bethesda deal was more cut and dry in regards to it going through legally, whereas this, like you said, has all those contentions of it potentially, you know, giving them too much of a monopolization on the industry itself, on market share, on all these different things that would get in the way of them, you know, being able to finalize the deal. So they're dancing around a lot of stuff right now. It's strange because on the one hand, obviously Call of Duty is massively popular. There's a huge install base on PlayStation. There's been exclusive content on PlayStation for years. So you might as well just keep monetizing that. Like, you're just stepping in as part of the revenue stream and all of a sudden it starts going to you. At the same time, I think that the way that they're wording this lines up with everything that we've covered so far, where there'll be a version of Call of Duty on PlayStation. There'll be a version of Call of Duty on Nintendo Switch, but the definitive edition will be on Xbox. And I don't mean a premium pre-order version. I just mean whatever the full version is will be part of Game Pass. I think that's how they do it. This also would mean that an Xbox logo would appear on a Nintendo system for the first time, like kind of like how the PlayStation Studios logo was in front of MLB The Show when it finally went to Xbox. And maybe that's their play as well. They're just reminding people that, hey, by the way, this is an Xbox product now. And if you were over on on Xbox, you would actually be able to have this as part of Game Pass or whatever.
Totally, and I mean, when it comes to Xbox owning Call of Duty, it's a win-win whether they have an exclusive or whether they're forced to keep it multi-platform. I mean, it was just announced the other day, Activision Blizzard did one of their, financial investor calls, and they made like over $5 billion in the last year alone just on microtransactions.
It's all and those we only have bullets, like. Mate.
It is all of those tracer bullets. That's that war zone integration, you know what I mean? So there's so much money to be made by keeping it multi-platform. So I don't think they're going to be hurting either way. But yeah, I do exactly think what you just said there as well, when it comes to they might have to make this franchise multi-platform, but there are so many ways for them to say, but you should play it on Xbox, Game Pass being the biggie. You know, if you have the next Call of Duty being day one Game Pass, like that's just going to steal some of Sony's market share anyway and make sure that players go to Xbox first, or, the majority of Call of Duty's players come to Xbox. And I think they've got a lot of aces up their sleeve like that. That will mean that even if they keep it multi-platform, obviously the focus of Call of Duty is going to shift heavily towards Xbox, and they're going to pitch the Xbox as being the best place for this franchise if you're a fan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, yeah, and obviously they have all the infrastructure stuff with Xbox Live, because that's the thing. I don't really buy, I mean, obviously it's on the current hardware, but a Call of Duty running on Switch, like the nearest comparison is maybe the Call of Duty that appeared on Vita, which was fine. It was it was playable enough. You could hold the trigger and you could shoot some dudes in the face, and it was fine enough, but it was far from the ideal way to play that game. And some of that came down to the control scheme, and some of it just came down to the general performance of it. But I feel like it's interesting saying here about the, you know, it's coming to Nintendo platforms going forward, because I feel like it would need a hardware refresh to even be able to remove remotely keep up with the likes of the Xbox infrastructure or the PlayStation infrastructure in terms of online gaming. Like, if you're going to try and maximize the idea of Call of Duty is now on other platforms, it needs to have feature parity with the other systems. And that's obviously something that they then need to completely manage, because if you have this disastrous, you know, Call of Duty appears on Switch, let's say, and it runs like hell, and it's the debut of an Xbox product on that system, it all kind of falls apart.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Scott Silver. There's nothing I'd rather do less than play a modern Call of Duty game on the Nintendo Switch. I can think of very few things I would rather do less than that.
Ori in the Blind Forest? I don't know.
That's definitely up there. Which you could do on Switch as well.
Yeah, it's nice.
But yeah, it's just kind of like, I feel like they're just saying this is a promise that, like you said, you know, in the future, maybe if we can get some kind of like workaround, or if Nintendo releases another version of the Switch and we can make it work, it's going to be on that machine and that platform in some form. But I don't know what form is that going to take. Is it going to be like a Call of Duty mobile? Is it going to be an incredibly downscaled version of Warzone with terrible textures and fewer players? I don't know.
I'll tell you another thing as well, as a wider talking point. Do you think that, because, you know, Call of Duty Vanguard didn't land very well. I think it was the worst selling Call of Duty there's been in about 10 years, or a long time anyway. Black Ops Cold War didn't land very well. Modern Warfare did. That was arguably, for me, the best Call of Duty that there's ever been. But the campaign very much took a backseat to how solid the multiplayer was. And now we're getting Modern Warfare 2 this year, or at least in theory we are. What's your general thoughts on the popularity of Call of Duty right now? Like, we're talking around it as if it is this massive dead cert that it's going to bring everybody in and, oh my God, and whatever. But I also wonder if there was a conversation around the fact that it's been going for, you know, it's been over 20 years now. And I wonder if the Call of Duty IP, considering the last 2 years have been so flat, just what are your thoughts on that? Whether or not this is this dead cert like it used to be?
I think it's a dead cert. I'm never going to bet against Call of Duty, Scott, because people were asking me this question like 10 years ago. Literally a decade ago at the start of the next generation, the PS4 era, when Ghost was coming out, and Ghost didn't sell very well.
You know, it's the spawn campers. They're everywhere.
We were saying the exact same thing. We were like, maybe this is finally time for Call of Duty to go down, but they've always found a way to reinvent themselves. And I think I might be more inclined to agree with that line of thinking if it wasn't for Warzone doing so well. You know, I've dropped off Warzone since they released the new map. Not that the map is bad.
After how long, though? How long are you there?
I mean, hundreds and hundreds of hours, over a year of pandemic time. But that's not the point. The point is it's still going strong. You know, the point is it's still making them loads and loads of money. But I just think change will come because they're going to Microsoft, and because the path that they were on was just so unsustainable. You know, they couldn't keep pumping out games on an annual basis alongside Warzone. So I feel like, you know, by Microsoft coming in, we're going to see change anyway. We're going to see creative change. We might see Call of Duty be taken off the annualized cycle. And hopefully that gives it the shot in the arm that it might need to kind of get out of this wobbly period it's in, because it's only wobbling a touch. It's still making billions and billions of dollars a year. And I think all it needs is for Microsoft to take a look at the studios, make sure they're healthy and up and running, make sure they have the time and resources to make quality games, make sure they're not crunched to death to get Warzone content out alongside a new campaign and multiplayer and zombies. And then hopefully that will right the ship that, like you said, is kind of a little bit wobbly at the moment. But I have full faith in that, to be fair.
I do think that there is a pristine core to Call of Duty. It's why I buy them every single year and play a hell of a lot of them. Modern Warfare is the most that I played a card in about 10 years, even though I do pick up every single one of them. I think that it's just going to be that interesting dissemination of how do you make it so people always think of Xbox alongside Call of Duty, or is it just going to be like Minecraft? Minecraft is mentioned in this overall interview in regards to, you know, look, they bought Minecraft, they kept it on multiple platforms, and that's just the way that things went. And a lot of analysts over time have always pointed at Minecraft and just said, well, you could have locked this down and you could have made a hell of a lot more money by forcing people over to Xbox. And that's kind of in a whole other conversation as to whether or not they should have done that or not. But that's the interesting comparison in regards to Call of Duty going forward, whether it is just another Minecraft and they just wanted the revenue, or whether they do want to use it to fold back into Game Pass overall. I think the amount of money they spent means that they'll have to do something like that. But it's interesting that they're out there saying, look, it'll be on PlayStation, it'll be on Nintendo. And then it's just a case of keeping an eye on them to see what version or which whatever stripped down slice of Call of Duty ends up on those platforms to still push you back to Xbox. Go on.
Sorry, just one more thing. I just want to say that I'm convinced convinced that I don't know anything anymore because, you know, we're living in like a completely modern world where the rules don't apply. You know, Sony bought Bungie last week or the week before, and I was like, well, that means we're going to have future Bungie games that are exclusive. And then Sony were like, they're not going to be exclusive. We're keeping them multi-platform. When Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard, I thought, well, there we go. Call of Duty is going to be exclusive. Now they're saying, no, it's going to stay multi-platform. I don't know how these console makers' minds work anymore, Scott. It's freaking me out.
I think it is just base revenue. I think it's just general brand association, like I said, it's brand association. It's turning heads. It's getting people associating a certain game, a certain franchise, a certain amount of time spent in a franchise with a certain console manufacturer. And hopefully the optics of that result in, you know, sector domination over time. But yeah, it's very interesting. And I think that obviously everything's on the table. And the Bethesda stuff is just looming in the background because they have made Bethesda stuff exclusive. And they initially said that it wouldn't be. So it's like, there is all that stuff to factor in as well. But let us know what you think down in the comments below of the idea of Call of Duty eventually coming to Nintendo and the idea that it won't be exclusive just to Xbox going forward. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.